And right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Dana Brown. She's a national teach-ins coordinator with the group Democracy Collaborative and the Next System Project. Dana, great to have you on the air here. Thanks for making time for us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, before we talk about the topic we invited here to discuss tonight, the teach-ins project around the country, maybe first of all tell us a bit about the group that you work with directly, and that's the Democracy Collaborative.
Sure. Well, the Democracy Collaborative is an organization that, for the majority of its short history, just over 10 years now, has dedicated itself primarily to research with the idea that if we're going to radically change this country, if we want a transformation, really, in the political economy, we have to be able to show each other, show people data. We have to show people that it's possible, based on our own history here in the United States, based on other countries and projects that have happened on a local, national, and international scale in different places in the world. So really, the organization for many years, as I mentioned, dedicated itself almost exclusively to research to be able to show the United States, to be able to show different communities, funders, governments, et cetera, that it was possible to structure a political economy in a different way. And really only in the last couple of years has the organization moved more into the field of practice. So starting on a city level with places like Cleveland, Ohio, and implementing some really innovative programs with nested cooperatives, working with anchor institutions like hospitals and institutions of higher education, and with this Next System project, which is just a year old, we're really pushing people all over the country with students, activists, groups of faith, to think beyond what we know is possible today to what we think will be possible in the future and what we want for the future of our communities. So it's a really exciting group to be with.
Yes, and I was quite excited upon finding out more about it. And that's why I'm so glad you're here this evening to tell our listeners about, really thinking long range about the changes that many progressive activists have been struggling for decades now. And as we begin to talk about the Next System nationwide teach-ins, tell us a bit about how the idea for the teach-ins came about and what are some of the short-term and long-term objectives of the teach-ins.
Sure. Well, the idea really is something that comes from our own history here in the United States. I'm sure a lot of your listeners will remember the instrumental role that teach-ins played on college campuses during the Vietnam War in terms of catalyzing students and youth to act on the issue of the day, which was the war. But teach-ins have come up again in many different important moments in the history of the United States. When I was a student in the 90s, teach-ins were about NAFTA and CAFTA, their trade agreements. They were about the role that the United States played in international economics. And we're trying to kind of bring that tradition back and bring it home and have people, thinking about the role that their institution of higher education might play in the economic system that we have today and the one we'd like to have in the future. So really that's where the idea came from, was just looking at the role that students, that professors, that staff, and communities have played in American history in these particular kind of powder keg moments or moments of transition. And I think we just felt that something is happening right now. If you, especially the further we get along in the election cycle, I think it's becoming obvious to folks that people want something different here. And I think there's no other way to explain the fact that our two most popular presidential candidates at the moment are Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. So we're really just trying to, be a part of that moment and listen to people. So I guess the short-term goals of the teach-ins are to engage people in that conversation, that not only is it possible to elect a candidate who thinks differently or change a particular policy in your community, but to change the rules of the game, that the market economy isn't a law of physics. It's not like gravity. It's something that we could tweak that we could change dramatically to meet the needs of our communities and to meet the needs of the planet. So I think it's really just about trying to open up people's creativity, to push them beyond what we think is possible this week or this month, but really what we know we need in the future, and then kind of, you know, coming back and building in the intermediate steps. You know, what do we have to do in the next 6 months to get us closer and closer to that goal? But if we don't know what that goal is, if we can't envision the long term, then we're not going to be able to take the day-to-day steps. So, yeah, that's what we're out there hoping to be a part of.
Well said, Dana. We're speaking with Dana Brown, National Teach-Ins Coordinator with the Group Democracy Collaborative and the Next System Project. And Dana, I wanted to ask you this. Outline for our audience, if you would, the failures of the U.S. economic and political system that has certainly found a voice in Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign and is a starting point, a central organizing principle of the Teach-In Project.
Well, I mean, I don't think I can speak as eloquently to the failures of the economic system as many others, but I'd say from my experience, I grew up in a small town in Mississippi, and we were taught very early on that we weren't the privileged ones, you know, that I went to public schools and we learned as children that what we got, because we lived in a poor state, was a poor education, that we had a place where there weren't always books for classes, that we shouldn't necessarily dream about going to college because there wasn't room for us. And so I think there are many Americas, and each of us, depending on, you know, where we had the privilege to be born or not, and the color of our skin and our religion and all sorts of other things, have vastly different experiences in this country, have vastly different access to information, to opportunities, and it's just that on a huge scale that I think we'd like to combat and like to ask people to think beyond. And I think there's something that probably a lot of college students these days are experiencing, which is that there's not much of a job market for them. They're in greater and greater debt every year for just choosing to go to school and get an education. And there are fewer and fewer opportunities, despite the fact that we're still the richest country in the world. So I mean, I think it's really that just we have to think that there's something wrong with that. Not to mention, you know, there are a host of other issues, whether it's healthcare or the fact that black men are getting, you know, chased down in the streets by cops, or that we are killing the environment. I mean, you could pick any one of them, but we really see them all as related issues, and we want everybody to come to the table, no matter which of those issues it is that moves them most.
I think one of the things that makes your project in the nationwide teach-in that are happening across the country so relevant and compelling is the fact that you have a whole generation now growing up where their future looks quite a bit more dim and the horizon's a lot lower than their parents or their grandparents. You know, there used to be an expanding economy with greater opportunities in successive generations. And that's something we're not seeing for the current millennial generation and those that came after them.
Absolutely. I mean, I think what we see now is expanding disparities, right? The economy has continued to grow by some accounts, but we see all that growth at the very, very top, and that wealth being more and more concentrated in the hands of fewer and fewer. So while there are, you know, a few number of extremely rich people in the United States, and that there is certainly opportunity for them, there's never expanding lower class, and there's an expanding poor working sector of America. There are people who work two and three jobs who still don't have the opportunities that my parents had and their parents had with one job. So, yeah, certainly I think that points at fundamental flaws in the design of the system, and therefore the need to change those rules, to change the logic of that system to something that makes sense for all of us and not just for a privileged few.
Well, Dana, describe to our listeners some of the examples of alternative economic and political systems that are discussed and dissected at these teach-ins around the country, and whether they're academic theories or, you know, have a place in the real world that you can visit and point to and find the relative benefits and flaws in these alternative systems.
Sure. Well, there's definitely both. There is theory and practice going on in these teach-ins and in all of our projects. But we at the Next System Project have put out a series of papers on new system models, and they're a wide variety there. They really go from social democracy and participatory economics to the caring economy. There's several different versions of how you would manage the economy, both on a local and a national and international scale, and what sort of all those rules of the game are. But what we're really excited about in the teach-ins is just engaging people in that debate and having students, having faculty, having community members be able to look at a model and say, yeah, this one's relevant to our community, but we would need to tweak it. Or, that one's intriguing, but it's off, right? It doesn't address this question or that question that's really important to us. So really, I think one of the things that I'm looking for is for us to learn in this process from all the different communities that engage in the teach-ins and all of the things they point out that maybe some of the theorists hadn't thought of yet. So it's really about kind of opening up that dialogue. It's about a space for popular education where everybody's point of view matters, and really also a place where we can look at the models that are being tested on a small scale in communities and think about what is scalable, what can we bring to the country on a nationwide scale, and again, what might need to be modified. So in places like New York City, where we had a great teach-in in March, we found out about everything from alternative currencies and time banks to those that are looking at new technologies and how to use the blockchain technology that underlies Bitcoin and apply it to things like microgrids for clean energy. So really there's an incredible amount of experimentation already going on in the United States, and part of the fun is just learning from one community and seeing what's applicable to all the other communities out there.
One thing that's very frustrating, and I know it's got to come up in these teach-ins, is the fact that the United States is the only country, industrial country in the world, that doesn't have a universal healthcare system like Canada and most of Europe and Australia and a whole host of other countries, large and small. And, of course, this is hammered home by the Bernie Sanders campaign constantly. And you have pushback, of course, from Republicans and certainly conservative Democrats that somehow this is not a viable idea when it's practiced in every other major nation in the world. And, you know, it's clear that the political obstacles preventing the United States to move forward on a front that would provide health care to everybody at a less expensive price tag, it's linked inextricably to a political system where money buys influence and can block common sense solutions like this. So I know that's, you know, one of many topics you cover, but maybe you could speak to the tie-in between the political and the economic when you talk about things that could be advantageous to the population at large, but are constantly blocked and have been blocked for decade upon decade.
Sure. Well, I guess, again, interesting things that come up in these teach-ins are models for how we might change that. For instance, in a couple of places, we heard people talk about participatory budgeting and how if money is power in this country, but you can open up a little bit the process of setting a budget on a city level or a state level, what if all of a sudden all citizens or even all residents of a city or a state had a say and could decide how much money was allocated to healthcare or infrastructure or education versus defense or whatever the alternatives might be. So I think it's really initiatives like that are practical, that are forward-looking, that have basis in reality, that have been tried some places, but that really would do things radically differently than kind of what most of us experience in our so-called democracy, where we go to the polls once every 4 years if we have the proper identification. We have a very limited number of options of who we can vote for, a very limited number of parties that have that enjoy kind of an official status. So, like I said, it's those kind of things that I think are very practical alternatives, but open us a whole host of possibilities for a very different future that are exciting to me and that are coming up in all of these conversations we're having across the country.
We're speaking with Dana Brown, National Teach-Ins Coordinator with the group Democracy Collaborative, and we're talking about the Next System Project's national set of teach-ins that are happening now. And Dana, I did want to ask you a little bit about who is attending these teach-ins, and maybe you can describe a bit about, the folks that come and what they expect and what they get, and you know, just in terms of folks who are curious or have a real hunger for a discussion of their future and the nuts and bolts of, a system change. I'm just wondering if you even give us a story or two about the kinds of unexpected things that can happen when you get a bunch of diverse people together to discuss these critical issues.
Absolutely. And one of the really exciting things for me has been to see the diverse group of people that does show up. So far, we've only just really started. We've had 5 of the 30 planned teach-ins, and at those first 5, we had several hundred people in each of many different places. The youngest attendee that I know of was 12 years old, and the oldest were retirees. We had people who had signed up months in advance and helped organize and were very excited, and we had walk-ins at many places. One walk-in in Madison, Wisconsin was someone with a business background who was very skeptical and came and talked to a few of us at the registration table and said, well, at least you're interested in engaging in dialogue. And we kind of figured that he would walk out after the first session and think that, we were a bunch of people that he would never see eye to eye with. And he stayed for the whole 3 days of that teach-in and engaged in some really great discussions and asked good questions and left a great feedback form at the end. So that, to me, was as valuable as people coming from the environmental and racial justice organizations that I expected to show up. There've also been people who've driven from other states, who've brought their whole families. We've had everybody from professional journalists to a former Olympic athlete show up. So really it says something to me about how much this country wants to see deep change.
Well, Dana, I know the challenge for the progressive activists in the United States has for a long time been the problem of single-issue, narrow, silo-like issue organizing as opposed to building a broad-based, inclusive movement. That includes sectors like the labor movement, environmentalists, civil rights, women's rights, the peace movement, students, low-wage workers, people concerned in trying to take action to counter inequality. How does your teach-ins address that critical piece that for change to occur, people have to work together on each other's issues? It can't be all operating, activists operating in isolation from one another.
Well, that's always going to be a challenge, I think, because of the history of the left or the left in the United States and everything that was done to break us apart and really divide and conquer. At the same time, the biggest compliment I've received so far was people thanking us for just creating this space in which we could really see the interconnectedness of different issues. So I think, we're moving in the right direction there. And it really, to me, it's not about saying that this system change thing that we want to talk about is more or less important than the particular issue or campaign that you're already working on, but that we have to all be working together, at least kind of in the same direction, And as I mentioned before, if we don't know what that direction is, then we're never going to get there. So we really do, as activists, as students, as, you know, whatever you are, whatever population you feel like you're a part of, we have to have those conversations first about exactly what it is we want. What does that better future look like? What are the nuts and bolts? How does it work on a neighborhood level, much less a national level? So really, you know, we want to engage people in the nitty-gritty and the details and the difficult stuff in these teach-ins, not to say that it's, again, more important than the conversation that are already happening, but one that just has to happen in parallel so that our struggles around the individual issues are strengthened because they're working towards a greater goal that's going to bring us all together in the future.
Dana, I know that from the literature you sent me that progressive icon Professor Noam Chomsky of MIT, linguistics professor and certainly well-known around the world as an incisive and brilliant theorist and activist on political change, he's endorsed your teachings around the country. Tell us a little bit about Noam Chomsky's input here.
Well, I really, it's not, rather than kind of having input into the teach-ins process, we were just lucky enough to get a chance to talk with him and interview him about the history of campus activism, about what teach-ins have been to U.S. history, what kind of role they have played in terms of catalyzing change, and what role they might play right now. So there's an interview published on our website on thenextsystem.org, but also we have a little video clip of him basically talking to us, to those of us who are putting on teach-ins right now, encouraging us and reminding us about the role in history that youth and students have often played in times of change. So really that was the exciting thing, was to learn from his experience and to hear him talk about what is possible and kind of what role the university might play in catalyzing change towards a new chapter in American history.
So you were saying you have 5 of the 30 planned teach-ins already under your belt. Might it go beyond 30 if there's interest?
Oh, sure. And I'm still actively working to sign people up. So anyone who's interested is more than welcome to contact us. We also have next week at the University of California, Santa Barbara, there's going to be a great, large 3-day teach-in, and 4 of the sessions there will be live-streamed, and those will be available on the website. But also we are signing people up to host viewing parties in their own communities or on campuses. So last time I checked my email a few hours ago, we already had a further 16 communities signed up to host viewing parties. So those are kind of like mini teach-ins as well, because it will provide lots of great fodder for discussion in communities across the country that weren't able to, for whatever reason, host a physical teach-in this semester.
Well, this is great. Very inspiring, Dana. And leave the web address so our listeners can find more information about how they can sign up for the scheduled teach-ins, or maybe think about trying to organize one on their own here in their own communities.
Absolutely. It's teach-ins, all one word, .thenextsystem.org. So teach-ins.thenextsystem.org. And we would love to hear from you all.
All right. Well, thanks so much for all your hard work on this project, and we're glad we got a chance to speak with you tonight. Take care, Dana.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Take care.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Dana Brown, National Teach-Ins Coordinator with the group Democracy Collaborative and the Next System Project, talking about this set of teach-ins all around the country. 5 of 30 have already occurred, but lots more opportunities to get involved.